discussing the issues that actually matter, finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us. Chuck Bentley joining us now from Crown Financial. Chuck, welcome back. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, John. Good day to you. I hope you're doing well.
We are. It finally warmed up here in Colorado, so I for one, am enjoying that. It's time for that change to happen. What is also warming up, though, pardon the pun, Chuck, is inflation. Even though there are those out there, especially some in the news media, that don't want to seem to admit that it's there, I've been talking about it for several months now, and the reality is it is.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, when your wife comes home from the grocery store and she says, you know, I've got one plastic bag of groceries and I think I'm spending twice what I used to spend on that plastic bag of groceries, we know pretty clearly that inflation is real right now.
It is, and there is even reports out that, you know, they've really, in fact, a lot of the news media, I feel, Chuck, has deceptively, you know, told the public that inflation isn't as bad as it is, because some of these forecasters tend to take out some of the key elements, i.e. gas and food, that you just mentioned.
Well, no doubt about it. Gasoline prices are up at the pump. The price of oil is at a two-year high, which in some ways is a benefit to your Colorado economy. I know you've got a number of exploration companies based there. But gasoline is up. Groceries are up. That means eating out is going up. Travel is going up. Anytime the price of oil increases, practically everything that's impacted by transportation also increases.
That's
so if you're
correct.
Going to fly, if you're going on a cruise, if you're going to drive your family on a vacation, everything is going up right now, John.
Yeah, and to your point, Chuck, and we tend to forget this, but every single thing that we consume as consumers in the U.S. is trucked into whatever location it is. Unless we're growing our own food or doing something along those lines, Chuck, everything we buy has some sort of a transportation fee attached. And like you said a moment ago, when those transportation costs increase, well, so does the product they're delivering.
Well, what people don't think about when they go into their local big box store or, say, even a Walmart and purchase something there, 80% of those items today in a Walmart are shipped over from China. Mm-hmm. They're manufactured in China. They have to cross the ocean in a big shipping container and be put on the shelves. So we've seen a massive disruption in our supply chain.
Right.
And I think that's one of the reasons we're seeing what some are calling demand inflation or a demand spike, because we've seen an interruption in being able to get products to the United States or even to create those products, because people were shut down during COVID. Factories had to shut. Workers were told to stay home. All of those things sort of combined into this perfect storm. And I was just reading an article today, John, that we're seeing inflation that people haven't seen since the 70s. And I'm old enough to have lived through the 70s when mortgage rates rose to 18%. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine that?
Yep.
Historic lows?
Yeah, I remember those.
But
yes.
This thing can go out of control where everybody is going to be negatively impacted by it.
That's right. Okay, so you guys, Crown Financial, largest Christian financial ministry in the world, and I know if you're like myself even, and I'm not a financial advisor by any stretch of the imagination, Chuck, but this inflation topic comes up quite often, and folks want to know, you know, how do you stave off or prepare for that rise in inflation? So what are your suggestions for folks?
Well, first of all, we have to define what it really is, John. It's the reduced purchasing power of the dollar. Inflation means that there's more money than goods. So goods are constrained right now. Money supply is up. So the price of the things that we buy is going up. So we're not able to buy as much as we used to. Obviously, the government is trying to tell us they're going to get this under control. I think that's questionable. Mm-hmm. I think it's doubtful. I mean, they have a few tools left to rein it in, but we're not necessarily sure that they're going to rein it in. Some people that I respect a great deal are extremely concerned about this. This is a dangerous time. You see what happened in Venezuela, and obviously we're not Venezuela.
Right.
But they went from a very strong economy where they were on par with the U.S. dollar. Practically the bolivar, their currency, was equal to one U.S. dollar. I just checked before we went on the air, John. If you live in Venezuela, Your minimum wage right now is somewhere around 10 million bolivar a month, 10 million, and that equals $4.
Wow.
So that's what inflation can do, given the extreme.
Right.
And so if it goes extreme, there's not a lot of ways to be prepared, other than I'm going to give you a few sort of just hard facts that I think people need to be thinking about. Number one is we actually need to save more money. Now, if you really understand inflation, it's a tax on savers.
Mm-hmm.
People who are saving are actually losing money.
Right.
But I
money in the bank is being devalued, correct?
Yes, that's right. It's better in hyperinflation to convert that to commodities or goods as quick as possible. But I think right now we need to be saving more money, because when you save more money, you have more margin and you have more options. And I think it gives you the opportunity to stave it off in other ways.
Okay.
Another way to stave off inflation is to do what the professionals are advising, and that is rotate some portion of your investments into commodities. Those are the things that rise with inflation. I wish I'd invested in lumber a few years ago.
Right.
Lumber futures are doing better than Bitcoin right now.
Correct.
Copper, iron ore, corn, soybean, wheat, those kind of commodities, real estate, they're doing extremely well. So a hedge against inflation is to have money invested in the things that rise with inflation. Now, I'm not saying to people, rush out and do that right now. There are experts that believe that this period of inflation is going to be abated once that supply begins to catch up with demand. And, you know, COVID is settling down, more businesses are opening, more factories are opening. It is possible that it's going to come under control. But that's the general strategy, to have more financial margin with options created by increased savings and rotating investments into the things that are going to rise with inflation.
Okay. All right. Anything else you'd add to that, or just those two things mainly right now?
Well, I think those two things are the basics, John. I think, obviously, we need to be thinking about things like our indebtedness. And the strange thing about debt, John, is in hyperinflation, debt gets cheaper.
Right.
And many people believe that the government intentionally inflates their way out of high debt by paying for it with lower cost of dollars.
Hmm.
And so it's called a hidden tax. It's what some people in public policy believe is the sort of the stealth tax that we don't realize we're being taxed to pay off government debt. But it also works personally. And I believe in being debt-free. I believe the Bible advises that we should live where we owe no man except the debt to love one another. And so I believe in that. But let me just say, debt becomes an asset during hyperinflation. And let me give you an example, because it's so mind-bending. I have a friend in Zimbabwe, and when hyperinflation hit, you could not buy toilet paper with a $100 trillion bill, the largest currency ever printed in the history of mankind. It's $100 trillion. That would pay off the U.S. government debt four times over, just one bill. But it wouldn't buy toilet paper in Zimbabwe. But if you were paid $100 trillion for, let's say, you know, 10 minutes of work, and you had $200,000 of debt, you could pay it off with that one payment.
True.
And so debt became an asset. And so it's an interesting thing to be aware of.
It is.
Yes,
I agree.
Consider getting debt-free, but also recognize if we spiral into hyperinflation, debt is your friend at that point.
And I'm glad you said that, Chuck, because I think there's a lot of, especially, you know, Christian investors that I think they understand the concept of what you just said. Although, and I want to add another layer, and I think you'll agree with me, I also am one that believes there is good debt versus bad debt. You know, credit card where you're paying high, even with hyperinflation, having credit card debt for things that you may not even know exist, and you're paying a very high rate of interest on that, which, by the way, I think will increase as this, if it goes the direction that, you know, you and I are talking right now, even that gets more expensive. So to me, that's bad debt. A mortgage on your home, especially if you're able to afford the home you live in, I don't look at that as bad debt, Chuck. I look at that more as good debt. So maybe I'm wrong in my thought process, but I see good debt versus bad debt.
Well, I'd like to reshape that conversation, John. Larry Burkett, who founded Crown many years ago, we were founded in 1976, so we're approaching our 45 years of history. He used to challenge people to think about what really is debt. Debt is what you owe with no other basis to repay that obligation other than your name or your commitment to it, right? Just your pledge. Mm-hmm. And so credit card debt is not backed by an asset. If you purchase an asset using borrowed money, then it's possibly that you really do not have the debt in the literal definition, meaning if I borrowed $100,000, but my house is worth $200,000, do I have $100,000 in assets or do I have $100,000 in debt? You can recast the way you think about that.
Right.
But I do think the Bible doesn't call debt a sin. It never condemns it, although it has very strong warnings about using it. And particularly it says it should be short term. It should never be considered like a way of life. There needs to be a way to repay your debt other than just your verbal commitment to do so. And that means you purchase some asset with it.
Right.
Now, I prefer in my life to be debt-free. I've got a mortgage remaining, as you said, John. I'm working on that. It's very small, proportionate to what my house is valued at. But I intend to get that paid off. I have one of the lowest mortgage rates in the history of the world right now. I think it's 2.125%, and I'm very comfortable with that.
Yeah.
But I still want to get it paid off.
Makes sense. No, and I, by the way, I agree with everything you just said, and that's not typically the way in a lot of cases, even sometimes in church, Chuck, that's presented. And a guy, I appreciate you sharing that with us, and also the ways to. There's no way, by the way, I think this is a misconception, we say stave off inflation. To your point, there's no way. Can we prepare for it better and respond to that better when it does come? Yes, but if it's coming, Chuck, it's coming, and there's nothing that you and I are going to be able to do to stop it.
Oh, you're exactly right, John. I mean, we can't stop the government from printing money. Nope. I wish I could.
Me too.
I wish I could, but
me
I
too.
Can't. I can't open up all the factories where production has been thwarted and a global pandemic has stopped supply coming into our country. I can't change those things, but I can be aware, and I can be prudent, and I can take the steps that I need to do to protect my family the best that I can. What people are probably thinking right now, okay, should I buy gold? Should I buy Bitcoin? I get asked those questions mm-hmm. over and over and over, mm-hmm. John. And in some ways, those two rushes to hedge against inflation, the default decisions, are almost in conflict with one another. I think Bitcoin is a form of surrogate gold, meaning there's no real fungible mm-hmm. asset there, but it's supposed to rise with the more money the government prints, the more Bitcoin seems to rise because people are afraid that fiat money is going to
right.
collapse, and
right.
so it's a hedge.
Right.
But then on the other hand, people are saying, why do that when you could historically trust gold to be a stored value in its innate properties? And it has usefulness apart from just as a form of currency. So gold or Bitcoin, I don't get into the debate on which one you prefer, but I do think that those are options to hedge against inflation. I would also say neither one of those should be the only solution.
Agree.
That you think
Thank
about.
You. Thank you.
I would say at a minimum, you might want to go into either one of those. I look at gold, which is my preference, as an insurance against inflation. But I don't look at it as an investment, an investment that I expect to rise year over year because gold fluctuates and obviously Bitcoin fluctuates wildly.
Makes total sense. Chuck, how do folks find Crown Financial, sir?
We're at crown.org. Very,
okay.
very simple address. We're there to help people. We help we can, John, and thank you for having me on today.
No, Chuck, I always appreciate it. You're welcome anytime. Reach out whenever you want to come on, and we'll have you. And it's a blessing. I appreciate it, sir.
Keep up the good work.
We'll do it. Chuck, thank you very much. And he's right. There is, I guess my answer would have been if somebody says, do you buy gold or Bitcoin? Yes. That would be my answer. In other words, you probably should do a little of each. And I'm not a financial advisor by any means, but everything Chuck said is great, and they've got some great resources at Crown Financial. And as he said earlier, they've been doing this for a very long time, folks. Extreme Auto Repair is up next. And I talked to Sean earlier today, and they want to help you with all of your vehicle needs, whatever they are. And don't forget about some of the great specials they've got going on right now when it comes to not only tires and the rebates that'll be there on those, but anything else you need at Extreme Auto Repair. Find them at klzradio.com. Fill out the Extreme form there and get free wiper blades or a tire rotation. That's Extreme Auto Repair, again, at klzradio.com.
Longevity counts for mechanical repairs. The factory-trained technicians at Extreme Auto Repair have an average of almost 13 years' experience per technician. So at this point, almost nothing surprises them. After so many combined years on the job, they've seen just about every weird problem your vehicle could have. Even in those rare cases where they really have to dig, they don't give up until they find a solution. John Rush has been recommending Extreme Auto Repair on Rush to Reason for nearly 6 years now, so he's seen their persistence firsthand. They have a reputation for solving problems no one else could. Make Extreme Auto Repair your last mechanic. Long-time radio supporters, long-term techs, repeat customers. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/extreme for your free windshield wipers or tire rotation. Extreme Auto Repair. Promises kept.
All right, Franktown Firearms, folks, where whatever you need when it comes to buying a gun, Second Amendment, they've got it all, including all of the training needed once you buy that gun, or just, you know, get some refresher courses or learn something new. They can do that as well. And don't forget ammunition and accessories as well. KLZradio.com, 720-770-7777.
Preserve your liberty, protect your family, and have fun at the same time. Everyone at Franktown Firearms has the same goal, to fire off some freedom seeds safely and confidently. That common goal builds relationships based on shared values and mutual respect, which makes Franktown Firearms one of the few places you can preserve your liberty, protect your family, and have fun at the same time. Because they maintain good relationships with suppliers, treat customers with respect, and offer lower tax rates, Franktown Firearms continues to sell guns and ammo at or below MSRP. But they don't only want you to buy a gun. They want to see you develop confidence through practice. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/franktown for $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free. Range members, first responders, and military veterans receive discounts in the shop, as well as discounts on all classes. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Don't have a lot of time before my son Richard joins us. I wanted to touch on an email I received last week when we were talking about just election integrity and voting machines and some of what we learned on Thursday in regards to the way machines are not only accessed, the way they're programmed and accessed, and having literally in a lot of cases, well, in all cases, open access to the internet, which again is a gateway for them to be hacked. So there was an email that came in, you know, last week that maybe agreed, maybe disagreed with me, and I said something where I believe that a lot of those vulnerabilities that are there are wanted by the other party. This particular emailer said, no, that's not the case. Well, I'm going to stand by my word when I say that, because yes, the other side would love to have those vulnerabilities left there, because they know that in a lot of cases, that's how they can win elections, by cheating. Now, is there cheating that happens in every election? Probably. And has there been since elections started? Yes. We do our very best to make sure that those things are done with the highest of integrity. But in this particular case, this emailer thinks the only way to eliminate all election, you know, snafus or vulnerabilities to have a nationwide election standard. And I would say, no, not true. In fact, we don't want the feds being in charge of our elections. In fact, that goes against the very reason why we are a republic and not a democracy. We do not want a single way of voting. We do want each individual state to handle how voting happens in that state. It's called states' rights, and we don't want the federal government controlling that. In fact, folks, I will tell you that the less federal involvement we have in anything, the better off we are. We have far too much federal involvement as is. We need to do a better job of eliminating federal involvement any way possible. This particular person said, well, we need federal involvement when it comes to elections and having a nationwide election system so that we can secure it and not have some of these cyber attacks and so on, just like we secure, you know, our other infrastructure systems, internet, defense, highways, and so on. I think I can really respond quickly on that, that none of those are impenetrable, if you would, by outside sources. We have already determined that with the internet. We've determined that with defense, and we've determined that with our highways. So frankly, again, they're not a good example of having a, you know, nationalized, you know, voting system in place is now going to somehow thwart every cyber attack and anybody trying to infiltrate that system down the road if we federalize it. No. In fact, I would say that it's the opposite of that. The more federalized it is and the more it is unified, the easier it becomes for hackers to infiltrate a single system versus, depending upon how many states use whatever systems, we could have, you know, 35 to 50 states doing it differently, which then makes it much harder for hackers to come in and do what they do. So, no, folks, we do not need a one-size-fits-all when it comes to voting. And I got made fun of in this particular email because I said last week that probably the best way to do this is for everybody to vote, you know, on a paper ballot. And I got made fun of saying, well, that means everybody's going to wait in much longer lines. And, you know, it'll go back to the old days of how things were done. And it's just going to create more chaos. No, it can be done in a very easily in a very easy fashion, folks. This isn't that complicated. And our guest that we had on last Thursday said, well, there's maybe even a way of counting those paper ballots through machines to make even that go much faster. But keep in mind, right now in Colorado, we do vote by paper ballot. Those are then fed into a Dominion machine that then count those ballots because we vote by mail in Colorado. Not that I agree with that, but that's just how we do it here. And again, no, folks, we do not want a nationalized voting system across the country. I believe that would actually be more ripe for problems in the way we do it now. And I'll get into more of this, maybe even with Andy a little bit more tomorrow, because the bottom line is, no, we don't want that. And if you disagree with me when I said that I think the left wants what we have now when it comes to the vulnerabilities, I think they do, in fact, want that to happen. They want to cheat. They proved that this last election. And I'll stand by my words when I said that. So up next, we've got RoofMax, Dave Hart, who, by the way, if you want a way to take care of your roof and make it last longer, Dave is your guy. Now, this is a change in thinking. And I don't know how else to say this. It's sort of like it took me literally 20 years on drive radio to get people to understand they don't have to do a 3,000-mile, 3-month oil change any longer. Cars, technology, things like that came along that made it to where you can go 5,000-6,000 miles or longer, depending upon the vehicle. In this case of rejuvenating your roof and making it last longer, this is a mental shift for a lot of you. We're trying to get to the point to where you are responsible in taking care of the roof over your head and not relying on the insurance company to do so. And by doing that, saving money. And there's so many reasons that go into what I just said. Bottom line, call Dave, have a roof inspection done, and find out how and if he can rejuvenate your roof. Do not rely on the insurance company to do that. You're going to pay that out no matter how you do this. Call Dave on the front side. 303-710-6916. That's Dave Hart at RoofMax.
Save thousands of dollars by extending the life of your roof instead of replacing it with RoofMax. The cost of asphalt roofing products has already gone up 20% and will likely go up another 20 to 25% this summer. To make matters worse, it's getting harder to find quality contractors, which means the cost of labor has gone up recently. As roof replacements become more and more expensive, roofing companies will start passing along that cost to their customers. Roof rejuvenation with RoofMax could save you up to 85% by adding years of performance to your asphalt roofing. Just one application of their all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof, guaranteed. With up to 3 applications every 5 years, RoofMax could help your roof last up to 15 years longer. Call Dave Hart with RoofMax in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916. That's 303-710-6916.
Folks, if you're self-employed, call Kurt Rogers from Affordable Interest Mortgage. Call him because A, he specializes in helping self-employed people get mortgages, and then B, he can explain how the asset manager loan works or how that mortgage works. And back to our discussion with Crown Financial a few moments ago, it's also the best way for you to get your house paid off quickly, but then still have access to the equity that's in it to be able to be used for whatever you find necessary to use it for. That's what the asset manager does. Call Kirk today. Find out how. 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
This happens to me far more than I think it should. Hi, this is Richard Beatty, KLZ 560. I will find a word that applies and form an acrostic that becomes a teachable moment. Today's word, boys and girls, is track. Think of it. I invest in Fitbit to track my steps, calories burned, duration, and miles. I track my money and investments, and I track my projects and my progress. I track my thoughts, responsibilities, and my actions, my creative ideas, and my knowledge. T-R-A-C-K. Integrity is the connective tissue between who I am at home, through my work, and in my community. Are you tracking? Track where you go online, klzradio.com/accountable.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Halfway through the show today, Richard joining us now. My son, what's up, Richard? Are you there? Oh, Richard.
Oh, sorry.
There we go. That's better.
I had to hit the button. So, yeah, we've got a big day. This is kind of like a mini, not quite Christmas for us, Dad, because you know, I've got a lot of Christmases with that. But it was an Apple event today.
And what happened?
Well, so it was their worldwide. So this is, I'm going to call this the Geek event, because
yes,
this is all their Worldwide Developers Conference. So it's really focused on the software behind things, but a lot of times, and obviously the hardware is big, right? You know, that they come out with a new iPhone and all that sorts of stuff, but anymore it's the software that's kind of getting the bigger and bigger upgrades, right? It lets you do some different features. And one of the features that they're hitting on, so they announced a new iOS operating system. So for those of you with iPhones out there, it's their new and improved. It comes out in the fall. It'll start beta testing in July, and they've got different features as far as messages and notifications and FaceTime. And for those of you greenies out there, you can now FaceTime with your green family member, i.e. your Android family member, right? So you can join FaceTime calls that way.
Okay.
And a few other things. But you know, Apple's been in the news lately, Dad, because of their privacy stuff, right?
Right.
So with their latest version of iOS, which most people probably have on their phones, or should, is I think iOS 14.5 or whatever it might be. And so that's essentially demanded that apps tell you when they're tracking you, or at least ask to track you.
So in other words, they want to know, or Apple made it so that you can control your privacy based upon what those apps are requesting, and you get to make the decision as to what you allow them to do and not do, versus a sort of a standard, yep, you're all going to get it no matter what.
Correct. And so there's and real quick as a side note, and then we'll get into what Apple's doing. I sent you kind of a post a few weeks ago about what actually happens when it comes to tracking. And, you know, a lot of people out there, you know, especially on the conservative side, are not trusting of our government. And we'll talk a little bit about, you know, why I don't necessarily disagree with them for not being not trusting. It is,
right.
It is the government, after all.
Right.
However, it's not really, you know, them as much you need to worry about. Really, in your device is already tracking this. It's, you know, they're tracking when you're around someone. So, for example, this guy shared a story of when he was at his mom's house visiting her. She has a certain brand of toothpaste. They didn't even talk about the toothpaste, and yet he got an ad for said toothpaste,
right,
the exact brand, later on, a week later.
Right, which proves the point real quick. I want to make sure I add, because everybody thinks that devices are listening to them, and it's not so much that as it is what you're going to explain next.
Correct. So what it's actually doing is your devices are talking to each other. And so it knows, in this case, it knew that this guy was around his mom and his device for a certain period of time, and his mom had looked at this toothpaste. And so in this way that these devices work is if they can get mom, or basically if they can get you talking about your toothpaste with mom or for whatever reason, she's more likely to buy it, right? You know, it kind of goes the old advertising,
mm-hmm,
you know, ad,
sure,
ad, which is, no news is, or no press is bad press, right? You know, it's not necessarily true, but in the sense that you can get people thinking about it. And so you may actually have coworkers that you are with more than your family, and you may actually be getting notifications or advertisements, I should say, on your device for stuff you've never looked at, you never even talked about in the office, but it knows because you're next to your coworker's device,
mm-hmm,
that you guys are in the same room, have conversations, you communicate, and do all those fun things. So that leads me to say to Apple what they're doing. They've got a few new privacy features. So the first one's in mail, right? And all of us know we get gazillions of junk mail, right?
Right.
Everyone does. Doesn't matter if you got a corporate email, non-corporate.
Doesn't matter.
Like 70% of my inbox is flooded,
yep,
through a day of
junk
mail, right? Delete, 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 right?
Right.
Well, so Apple is now, and so basically a lot of those junk mails have hidden features in them that show them your IP address. They show them your, essentially when you viewed it, if you viewed it, you know, so if you viewed it at 3:11 in the afternoon, okay, that actually sends a notification. So they're more likely to send that to you at 3:11 in the afternoon, right?
Okay.
At a certain time. And obviously where your IP address is located, which then ties into all the other, you know, stuff we were just talking about.
Right.
Well, Apple is now going to remove that. And they are basically going to block emails from essentially your mail app from doing that. It's going to hide your IP address and blocking the view notification for those third-party companies and ad tracking, that sort of stuff.
Okay.
Safari is already one of the most secure web browsers out there. It's now going to hide your IP address as well when it doesn't need, when someone doesn't need it, which
okay,
is a great feature. And again, for a lot of this location tracking, and then again, that I know a lot of folks don't necessarily know your IP address, folks, is essentially your location. It's
your
not
address.
Necessarily your device. Yeah, it's not your device's ID, but it's your where you're located,
right,
at, right? So if you go on the internet in Mexico, you have a different IP address than if you go on the internet at your house.
Right.
And so that's, it's just your device's location.
That's why a lot of people believe in using a VPN, which is a virtual private network, which sort of, hides that, which sounds like that's kind of a step that Apple is taking, only better yet, just not releasing your IP address at all, period. It's just not going to show up.
Correct. The downside to VPNs is they slow you down, right?
That's right.
They have to route your traffic
another layer
to different areas.
That's right.
Exactly. And whereas Apple's kind of taking advantage of that already and basically doing all that there, which is nice. So they've also got another app privacy report. So kind of what we talked about at the start, they're now going to start doing that for basically giving you an overview and a summary of all of the apps tracking you and when they are tracking you. So if you've allowed an app, let's say Facebook, because that's the big,
yep,
one in the news,
yep,
right? If Facebook is asked to track you, you can actually go to this report and they will tell you when Facebook actually has asked to track you, what they've asked to track, all that fun stuff, which is, again, great. Other companies are going to hate it, but touche for Apple, I think that should be the case. And then the last thing that they're doing is Siri, right? Everyone, you know, hates it when, you know, you just randomly are talking and Siri blurts out, you know, I can't help you with that. You know,
right.
whatever he or she says at that point in time. Well, here's the deal. They're actually making Siri better because the audio is never leaving the device. So that's partially built into the software itself, right? In that it, by them allowing it to, or not allowing it to leave the device and go over the internet. Because when Siri first came out, right, it was going to Apple servers,
correct,
processing the request, resolving it, and then sending it back to your device, and you can kind of figure out, you know, basically then it would send it from there.
Right.
Not necessarily the case anymore. It's, again, also allows for faster processing, and so they did an example in this demo where this guy basically asked him all these different questions, asked Siri to do all these different things, you know, said, turn your phone to dark mode, you know, turn on airplane mode, open your photos app, open the weather app, you know, do all these different things, and it was instantaneous.
Yeah.
And so that'll be a cool thing, but something you, because I know a lot of people, again, especially conservatives, are leery of using these voice assistants, especially Siri, Google Home, and Alexa, to do that. And Apple's kind of taking one step, and they've gone, I will say this, Dad, leaps and bounds above all of the other competition in making sure your privacy is secure.
Agree.
Right?
Agree.
And so so they've taken this. And so it'll be interesting to see what they do. Because, again, I know Facebook was, you're all mad at them and threatened to pull their app off the App Store, and all, which they didn't end up doing because they know they need the users, right? And there's too many people that are actual Apple users as it currently stands. But it's interesting, right? It's interesting to see how we're going. And, again, for folks, as you update your Mac products, your Apple products, not Mac, but your Apple products, this is kind of one more layer of security where you don't really have to worry about it as much.
It's just becoming automated more so than you having to do things on your own, like VPNs and the like.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. It's getting it to where, and I know you and I talk about this all the time, where Apple and Windows folks and Android folks, I know you say, you know, the customization isn't there and all that sort of stuff, but at the end of the day, Apple's making it so you don't have to have three or four different apps in order to hide your privacy, right?
Correct.
You can just rely on one. You can rely on Apple and their ecosystem, and it just protects you in that manner. And again, nothing's ever foolproof. There's always going to be stuff. There's always ways for people to get around stuff. You know, we talked about it, you know, with these hackers in you know, the Colonial Pipeline, which it sounds like, I don't know if you talked about it or not.
Yeah,
like
I did.
The government got
the money back.
Know, has got that money back, which is good. You know, I'll say touche to Biden for setting that up and their crew. But again, hopefully, as people be more and more leery of who you give your information. And here's the deal, folks. Again, we say all this, but there's not really. I guess the simplest way to say that is, companies really aren't worried about what you're saying, right? Neither is, I mean, the government to a sense, but it's where you are and who you are with, right? And your phone is constantly tracking that. Your devices are constantly tracking that, and that's kind of what we just talked about briefly. And so it's more of kind of just being conscious of that.
Right.
And I don't know if there's any way of getting around it, right? I mean, maybe we can talk about that more in the next segment, but I'm not sure if there's necessarily a full-blown solution.
Well, and before we take that break and think about this through the break, is this angst, because it's already there between Facebook and Apple, which most people think all the tech guys are in bed together. Folks, they're not. There is some fierce competition among, you know, Google, Facebook, Apple. You know, every one of them have different things that they're doing. You know, Google has the ability to, you know, it's got a message program on the Google end of things. I don't know what it is, so they don't use it. Apple has its iMessage, which is not really, for all of you listening that aren't Apple users, it's not really, even though it's a texting app, it's far more than that. And, of course, that's competition to what Facebook considers in, you know, Messenger. So, you know, everybody thinks they're all in bed together, Richard, but the reality is they are stark competitors. And I'll ask you this, then we'll come back and talk about it. You know, where does this put Apple and Facebook when they're not too friendly with one another anyways, when now Apple is even locking down Facebook anymore? My question is, do you think, and I'll leave you with this, we'll come right back, do you think Apple will ever do its own social media platform? We'll come right back and talk about that. Gino's Auto Service is up next, folks, and no matter what you need for your vehicle, Gino's is there. And I saw lots and lots of vehicles this weekend on the side of the road with everything from, you know, overheating to who knows what the problem is, to flat tires and so on. Make sure that's not you. Get your vehicle serviced. Make sure that it'll go from A to B with no problems, especially as we get into these hotter summer months. Go to Gino's. It's GinosAutoservice.com. Gino's with a J, 303-794-6700.
Now's the time to take advantage of Gino's Napa Break Special. This month, get a $50 Napa prepaid Visa card with a qualifying Napa Brakes parts purchase of $250 or more. For over 38 years, Gino's Auto Service has been serving Littleton and customers along the Front Range. At Gino's, their team recommends checking your brakes every 5,000 miles. Stop in this week and they'll check your brakes for free. As members of Colorado Select Auto Care, the Gino's team will back up their work with Napa's nationwide peace of mind warranty. To make your life simpler, Gino's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop off your car and pick it up when ready. Gino's continues their public service work, partnering with Hands of the Carpenter and donating work on vehicles for single mothers or women in need. Check out all their Google reviews for a good snapshot of their business. They're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon. Stop in or visit them online at ginosautoservice.com. That's Gino's with a J.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Barb with the United Way of Weld County said, "We are very happy with the copiers we currently have, and your customer service is exceptional. Doug is a great technician and is always prompt in coming out whenever we have a problem with one of our copiers. Thanks again for your wonderful partnership and customer service. I'm glad we are working with you." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. My son Richard Rush with me. And Richard, I left you with a question. Do you ever see Apple, you know, competing with a Facebook, or do they have any need to in coming up with their own social media platform?
You know, I don't think they need to, and I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there. I think that is it a possibility? Sure. Because I think Apple's looking at, you know, doing some of the virtual reality stuff that Facebook has done as far as, you know, the headset. And I think Apple is supposedly going to be venturing into the Apple glasses, you know, kind of what Google Glass mm-hmm. did for a few years there. And so I think Apple's always kind of looking to do that. But I don't necessarily think that they have a need to go on these social media sites, mainly because I don't know if they want to mess with the controversy that brews as a result of that. And you're kind of seeing that. And by the way, you mentioned, and I thought this, WhatsApp, you mentioned it, you know, is a competitor with iMessage. That's owned by Facebook.
Right.
And so yeah, absolutely. That's why, partially why Facebook and all the other stuff is wanting to do this, and they're coming out and saying, you know, Apple's bad, and they've done this, and they've done that, because, of course, they want to shift you into, you know, the direction that they want you. And here's the deal. This Facebook service purpose, yes, I think its original design was great for reconnecting and so on and so forth. But what they've been doing now, especially with President Trump, Dad, and how they've, you know, they keep pushing this ban on him and all the other nonsense. And again, I think that we've talked about this endlessly, so we won't bore people with this. I think that they should be allowed to do so. However, I'm also, again, I'm not on Facebook. I know you have to be only because of, obviously, what you do. But it's just an interesting, I think, conversation to have, which is they can do this. But should they be rewarded with other aspects of it? And so for me, it's not necessarily worth it. Now, of course, I'm still on Instagram, and so I'm still using Facebook's platform a little bit. But I think it's something that we should all look at and kind of analyze and say, okay, at what point in time does this, you know, kind of cross the boundaries for us? So
You're right. And I think, you know, the one thing real quick for folks that, you know, I think maybe at times we forget, I think the biggest reason that a lot of folks use social media, Facebook in particular, is, let's face it, Richard, the updates to, you know, photos and things like that that you can share with all sorts of, you know, family members inside of your own circle of family, friends, what have you. What I think folks forget is there are multiple other, you know, ways, if you would, platforms, I guess you could say, programs, probably is a better way for me to say it. There's multiple other programs that allow you to do the same thing. You know, Apple allows you to do it in iPhoto, or in Photos, I should say. Google does it in their photo app as well. So there's multiple ways to share that among family and friends. What Facebook did with all of that is they just made it easier and more seamless. It doesn't mean that you can't do it in other ways, but I think if people would really sit back and think, wait a minute, what do I really use social media for? And if the only reason you're using it is to share pictures of family and what you do and so on, then folks, honestly, Get off Facebook. Go figure out your own little inner circle of friends and family. Create some sort of a shared album in multiple places or in one place, however you want to do it, and then call it good. Because if that's all you're using Facebook for, dump it.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with you 100%, and that's the key. Really, now, again, if you use it to connect, and maybe you use it as part of your business so people can find you and you don't want to host a web page and all of the other things, I'm all for it. Maybe you advertise on Facebook, right? Maybe you use Facebook Marketplace and some of these things. I don't think that that's a bad thing. And again, I'm not telling people what to do, you know, with their free time and their personal time and that sort of thing.
Right.
I just think examine kind of the means by which you are achieving your goals. Like you say, there's iCloud, there's Amazon Photos, there's Google Photos. Now, it doesn't necessarily go down the Google route, and that's probably a conversation for a different day, but I would just definitely look at and kind of see what people are doing. And it kind of goes back, and I know we'll briefly talk about this, it goes back to the stuff with COVID, Dad, and with the vaccines and all the other stuff. Again, you do what you please. We've got family members who've gotten the vaccine, right? You know, and we've got people we know that have gotten the vaccine, and teach his own. But I think what you're seeing, folks, is that this whole vaccine passport and all the other nonsense that was going to go on, I don't think is going to happen. You just saw recently Royal Caribbean's backtracked on that.
Right.
And a lot of businesses have backtracked on the idea that there's going to be a vaccine passport. Our beloved president has backtracked on the idea that there's going to be a vaccine passport.
Right.
It's just kind of fallen by the wayside of, hey, maybe, you know, people don't want to share all of their personal health information, especially their personal health information.
Correct.
And so, again, folks, your data is just that, yours. It is one of the most valuable resources that you have that really we don't get compensated for giving up. Now, I am of the firm belief that, and there's people that know me, I give up some of my data because I want some of the ease, right, that comes with life. You know, I want to be able to ask Amazon and Apple and stuff to turn on my lights, right? And I want it to run certain things. And so I have to give up some certain privacy to do that. I'm just not that interesting of a person. However, there may be a line you're not willing to cross, right? It may be your health. It may be your records. It may be your personal records. It may be phone calls. Maybe text messages. So, again, folks, by the way, for those of you that we talked about iMessage, your text messages with Android and Green still appears on your phone bills. Dad, I remember when we first got phone messages and stuff, you know, you could go back and see all of the messages we sent all of our friends, right, on the monthly cell phone bill.
Right.
You can still do that with text messages. You can't do that with iMessage.
True.
It's encrypted.
True.
And so look at some of this stuff. And I know, Dad, we could probably spend a whole show and a whole week on, you know, privacy and what folks need to do. I just encourage people, do some research, and if they have questions, to reach out to you, and you and I can certainly discuss it and talk about it. And if folks really are concerned, there are different ways out there than what you currently think is available.
That's right.
Am I saying that right?
No, you are. And I want to make sure, too, that we're clear that, yes, Richard and I both agree, and I think even Andy would tie in with us here, that, you know, we don't have a problem with Facebook censoring and doing the things that they're doing. If that's what they desire to do as a business, great, more power to them. But as Richard said a moment ago, and I just want to explain, that doesn't mean that they get the same protections they have today. They get protections today of being a platform, which means they just let anything go, come out on the platform, and they put it out, and away they go. They've turned into a publisher, though, and when they become a publisher, the rules should be changing on their end, Richard, and I think that's where we're all in agreement, that while we agree they should be able to do whatever they want to as a business, they are getting advantages other businesses don't get by doing what they're doing, and in that case, no, it's not right, and it's not fair.
Correct. And again, that's something where you and I, we could spend lots of time on is that's a different conversation and what Facebook, and I will say this, it is a problem what Facebook and Twitter and these companies are getting away with just because they didn't like President Trump's tactics and what he did, and they're going to argue it was over the January 6th stuff, but folks, it's all a bunch of BS.
Yep.
They are censoring him because they know that he was, and we can talk more about that later, he's been doing stuff that just they don't like. And that's the bare bones of it, right?
You got it. You got it. All right, I'll let you run with that. And we could do an entire show. Maybe we'll at some point. Richard, thanks. And we may very well do that. I may plan that out, or we can talk more about this technological end of things when it comes to how you communicate and so on. It's a big topic, by the way. Bruce Simmons is next, American Liberty Mortgage. And much like we've been talking about some of the things with Richard a moment ago, get the right skinny, the correct skinny, I should say, from Bruce on how a reverse mortgage works. 303-467-7821.
A reverse mortgage with Bruce Simmons puts more money in your pocket. One of the common misconceptions Bruce hears about reverse mortgages is that they're too expensive. But here in the Front Range, chances are good your property value will keep going up even after you get the loan, which means your overall equity may actually increase over time instead of shrinking. Plus, you get the benefit of using a portion of your home's value now instead of waiting until you sell the house. Best of all, FHA reverse mortgages are non-recourse loans, which means they're guaranteed by the government. So no matter what happens to the housing market, as long as you keep paying taxes and insurance, you can never lose the house or pass on debt to your heirs beyond the value of the home. A reverse mortgage puts more money in your pocket. Ask Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise. NMLS number 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
All right, folks, that's it for this second hour of Rush to Reason. We'll be back another full hour coming your way. Kurt Rogers will join us for our Monday Mortgage Minute. And then Jason Johnson, he is president of the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund. And we're going to talk about that with him and just some of the things that they do and how they're there to really debunk a lot of the media myths that are out there. We'll talk to him as soon as we come back as well. So hour number three is next. Don't go anywhere. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.